Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we're here on top of the Tower of Hope for Empowered by the Spirit at Christ Cathedral. And we have two very, very important guests, very important to me. Father Felix Joost, who is the Executive Director for the Loyola Institute for Spirituality. Welcome, Father.
Thank you. Nice to be here with you, Steve.
It is so wonderful to have Father here. And Ken Cachet, who is the chair of the board of directors and is an associate of LIS. Ken, great to have you here.
Good morning, Steve.
And it's really wonderful to have both of you here. And we're focused on what is Loyola Institute for Spirituality, and we're going to talk about that and how you can make a difference for LIS, but more importantly, how it can make a difference for you and how it can help as it relates to your own growth and your own spirituality. But before we get into that, Father, would love to hear more about your background, and you have such a distinguished background. It was such an honor to have you here, but tell us about your faith journey, if you wouldn't mind.
I'd be happy to, and I hate to start off by correcting you, but you said we are important people, and that's really not true. You know, Jesus is the only one who's important
Amen.
For us. And
Amen.
In my life, certainly, I've had a close relationship with the Lord and been a member of the Catholic Church for all my life. But as I was growing up, I was in science and mathematics based on my family background, and I actually got a master's degree in mathematics from the University of Arizona in Tucson, where I was growing up, before I felt the call to ministry in the church. And so I entered the Society of Jesus, the Jesuit order, in 1980. And after usual formation studies of theology and philosophy and teaching and whatnot, I was ordained as a priest in 1991. So this is my 25th anniversary year as ordination this year.
Congratulations.
And, thank you. And I've been here at the Loyola Institute in Orange County now for the last 9 years, with initially just focusing on biblical ministries, but I was asked to become the director of the center 3 years ago now.
And now, what exactly is the Loyola Institute for Spirituality?
Well, I like to call it a retreat house without a house.
Ah.
You know, because in a sense, literally, we are the successor to what used to be the Manresa Retreat House that was located up in Azusa, California, in the San Gabriel Valley for many years. And unfortunately, like many retreat houses, they were struggling financially and had to close about 22 years ago. But the Jesuits of the California province did want to continue offering the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius Loyola and other retreat-like spiritual ministries in Southern California as well. We still have a physical residential retreat house up in Northern California, but we didn't want to just close the retreat house here in the South. And so different thoughts and committees and plans were formed as to how to continue spiritual ministries in the South in a more mobile, more multilingual and multi-ethnic way. And so 19 years ago, then a small group of Jesuits and sisters and lay associates began what was called the Loyola Institute for Spirituality here in Orange, but designed to be mobile. We do at least half of our ministries in all sorts of other dioceses around the Southwest and beyond.
This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're here on top of the Tower of Hope at Christ Cathedral, and we're talking with Father Felix Joost, who is the Executive Director for the Loyola Institute for Spirituality, and Ken Cachet, who is the Chair of the Board of Directors. And Ken, great to have you on the show, and tell us a little bit about your faith background.
Well, it's great to be here as well, and like Father, I am a cradle Catholic, and I think my close walk with the Lord has been there all along. But in 1975, my wife and I went on a marriage encounter weekend, and that was an experience that just really opened us up. I think the next year we did a Life in the Spirit, a Curcio the year after that, having babies about that time and looking for something to do in our church involved with marriage encounter. But we were at Holy Family Cathedral at the time, And someone there wisely said, hey, you guys would be great youth ministers. So we did youth ministry for a few years. And then in the early 80s, we made another transition, got involved with marriage preparation. And for 25 plus years, and actually we still continue to work with couples that are engaged and are planning to get married. So we've had an active ministry in the church. But my time and my involvement with LIS goes back, well, actually, probably 60 years. My uncle is a Jesuit. So Uncle Leo went into the society in 1954 when I was just a young one. So I've been around the Jesuits for a long, long time. And Uncle Leo was a missionary in Nepal for 40 years. My wife and I actually went there in 95 and spent 3 weeks with him. So we're very close to him. But he came back to the States early in the 2000s and was out here visiting Christmas of 2005. And at the time, I was starting to think about retirement and what would I do in retirement, and knowing I wanted to do something that would involve ministry. And I asked Uncle Leo, I said, I read about the Jesuits. I know about the Jesuits. I get all your publications. I'd love to do something with the Jesuits, but there's nothing here. He said, oh, no, there is something here. There's the Loyola Institute for Spirituality in Orange. Signed up on the email list, got some emails, went to a St. Ignatius Day Mass in July of 2007. And started into the Ignatian Spiritual Formation Program that September, which is a 3-year program. One first year is classes. Second year is experience in the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius. Third year is more classes and a practicum and learning how to be a spiritual companion. So in 2010, I graduated as an associate of LIS, and that's been active ministry for me now. Well, it's been almost 9 years at LIS.
And it's made a huge difference in your life.
Fantastic experience. And again, I've had a lot of what you might call mountaintop experiences, the marriage encounter, the Curcio. These things are wonderful in many retreats. But that 9-month process of the spiritual exercises is just hard to describe, difficult to put into words, but really embodies the love of Jesus and does set a heart on fire. That's kind of one of St. Ignatius's terms, hearts on fire.
And I love that term and the road to Emmaus, where are not our hearts burning. And certainly that's the case here when you are part of the Loyola Institute for Spirituality. And Father, tell us more about the spiritual exercises. What is it about, and why is it so valuable for people to go through it?
Well, the spiritual exercises, in one sense, is the title of a book. It's a book written by St. Ignatius of Loyola, almost 500 years ago now. And he wrote down, in a sense, some of his key spiritual prayerful experiences when he did what we could call a year-long retreat in Manresa in northeastern Spain. And he came to realize that the kind of experiences he had allowing himself to grow close to Jesus through biblically based imaginative prayer, for the most part, was something that would be helpful to other people. And so taking his little book of notes, he then kind of came up with a program of maybe doing a 30-day prayerful retreat experience for most people then. And that's the way it was initially done, or still done these days by Jesuits and by other religious people who can afford to take an entire month off from family or work obligations could go to a retreat house, usually in the summer, but anytime you'd like to, really, if a retreat house is offering the space, and then take that 30 days worth of prayer where you're basically only praying and, of course, eating and sleeping, you know, but you're doing 4 or 5 hours of prayer every single day for an entire month. And that's the kind of transformative experience that Ken was talking about. You really come to see who you are as, on the one hand, a sinner, but on the other hand, very much loved by God, and then feeling the desire to come to follow Jesus, to not only get to know him, but to become a disciple and apostle, then meditating upon all the accounts of his life through the Gospels, from his public ministry, through his passion, death, and resurrection, you know, just really helps you to not only for yourself be a better disciple, but then a better apostle in preaching the Word of God. Now, most people can't really afford the 30 days away from family and jobs to do that, and so the more popular way these days, and some would even suggest it's a better way of doing the exercises, is to stretch it out over about 9 or 10 months. where instead of 5 hours of prayer a day in one concentrated month, you do just about 1 hour of prayer every day and then meet with a personal director or companion guide for once a week or so. And to do that then over the course of 9 or 10 months helps you to integrate your prayer with your daily life as well. That's what we call the spiritual exercises in daily life, or it's sometimes also referred to as the 19th Annotation Retreat. And we've helped thousands of people to go through that experience, but one-on-one, individually with individual directors, to allow people to personally come to know the Lord through this type of biblical imaginative prayer.
And it's very transformative when you do that. And what are some of the fruits that come out of it? Learning, obviously, how much you're loved by Jesus, being able to improve your prayer life, being able to listen to the Lord. And am I on the right track there?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so, you know, I have to say to everyone that I went to Loyola University and, of course, a Jesuit university, now Loyola Marymount. Only Loyola Marymount for the last 40 years, probably, but let you know how long ago I went through it. But in any case, the whole aspect of really understanding through prayer and through education is something that really Ignatian spirituality, at least for me, is all about. And, you know, we're going to get back, come back from a break here in a minute, and we're going to talk more about what is Ignatian spirituality. And we happen to have a pope who is Jesuit. Is this the first the first Jesuit pope, right?
Sure.
Yeah, which is pretty exciting. And you know, as we look at Pope Francis, I think it's going to be interesting to see the types of things he's been doing and how that relates to Ignatian spirituality.
Oh, they're very strongly based on Ignatian spirituality. Anybody who knows anything about Ignatian spirituality can see what Pope Francis does comes directly out of those modes of discernment, finding God in all things, and some of the slogans we'll talk about in the next segment.
So we'll be right back to hear more about that. God bless you.
God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco here at beautiful Christ Cathedral on top of the Tower of Hope. We're on Empowered by the Spirit, and we're talking about the Loyola Institute for Spirituality and what Ignatian spirituality is. We're here with the executive director for the Loyola Institute for Spirituality, Father Felix Yust, and also Ken Cachet, who is the chairman of the board of directors. We were talking before the break about Pope Francis, and he has certainly been just a dynamic influence on our faith and on the world. And a lot of people are aware of Jesuits as it relates to just kind of conceptually, but really don't understand what makes Jesuits, what their focus is, and how Pope Francis is really the implementation of what Jesuit spirituality and Ignatian spirituality is all about. So, Father Felix, if you wouldn't mind elaborating on that in terms of the types of things he's done and how that really relates to Ignatian spirituality.
Well, I'd say one of the most important things is to find God in all things. You know, a slogan you might hear, finding God in all things, is the point is that God is to be found not just in churches, not just during your formal times of prayer, as good and as important as those are, of course, but finding God in all the aspects of your life and all the hours of your day. And so one of the most important types of prayer of Ignatian spirituality is called the daily examine, or the examine of your consciousness, not just an examination of conscience in the sense of the bad things you've done and being sorry for your sins. That may be part of it, but finding where God was moving in your life throughout the whole day and noticing where maybe you did respond well to an invitation to be a Christ-like presence to someone else in your life, or maybe where you fell short and want to do better the next day. Another very important thing is then finding God, as I said, not just in the churches or in the obvious religious elements of life and society, but in everything, especially where there is the greatest need. And so as Pope Francis has been saying, going to the peripheries, finding special attention to the poor, that's very strongly based, of course, not just in Ignatian spirituality, but in the Gospels themselves. So sometimes I get nervous when people talk too much about Ignatian spirituality as if it's something different. The point is that it's really just based on the Gospels. It's trying to learn from Jesus seriously and to take what he says in all of the Gospels and to put it into practice in our lives. And of course, Jesus is the one who came up with the idea that God is to be found everywhere and that we need to pay special attention to the poor and the needy, not just the good people who go to church.
We're here again at Christ Cathedral on Empowered by the Spirit, talking with Father Felix Huest, Executive Director for the Loyola Institute for Spirituality, and we're talking about how Pope Francis really is the personification of what the Gospels really are all about, which is reaching out to the poor, reaching out to those who are marginalized. And my brothers and sisters, I'd ask you right now, what is God calling you to do? What is God calling you to do as it relates to making a difference with that those invisible poor, those that are homeless? In Orange County, we have 35,000 sleeping in the streets or sleeping in cars. But to make a difference with those that are poor, as Blessed Mother Teresa, soon to be Saint Mother Teresa, would talk about the poor in spirit too, those that are emotionally poor that we have to reach out to. And I know for me, going through 5 theology courses at the University of Loyola, and of course being a deacon and going through Just Faith and all kinds of programs, we have to have a heart for the poor, and that's a big part of what LIS is all about. And like you say, Ignatian spirituality is just really the spirituality that Jesus has asked us to do. And Ken, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think one of the things that is important to note is that the process of the spiritual exercises, to me, and I think many would agree, is a movement of a lot of knowledge and information that we have intellectually in our heads. We've been told, we read that Jesus loves us, Jesus died for us, and we have that as an intellectual knowledge. But what really came through, I know to myself, and I think to many that do that process of the spiritual exercises, is that that knowledge, head knowledge, moves to the heart. You really internalize it. You feel at a deep, deep level a relationship with the Lord that is beyond what you might know intellectually. So I think that's a big factor, and you are left with this awareness, ongoing awareness of finding and seeing God in all things. And as Father said, that examine prayer is just a fantastic kind of, habit, if you will, that comes once you finish the exercises each day, whenever you choose, midday, end of the day, pausing and looking back at your day closely, noticing where you saw God, starting by giving thanks, gratitude for all the ways that God has blessed you, from the hot water and the shower in the morning. You talk about people that don't have that luxury, thanking God for that, for a smile on a child's face, for a beautiful flower, for just so many things, so many ways that God has blessed us. And then going deeper, as Father said, to notice where internally did I respond to God's grace? When did I reach out to someone that I bumped into on the street or in the store or in the line at the bank? And conversely, when did I turn away from the homeless person that was wanting my attention? So I think moving that head knowledge to the heart internally and being left with an awareness of God in all things and consciously looking that daily are some of the thoughts that come to my mind.
We often talk about the most difficult journey in the world being the journey from the head to the heart. It's taking that head knowledge and applying it into action. And again, I love the whole commentary and scripture verse in Luke 24:32, where our hearts burning within us when he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us. And Father, you are a scripture scholar and someone, a PhD and so forth. And how does the love of scripture and understanding of scripture, where does that fit into all of this?
Well, the entire spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius are based on meditating on the life of Jesus as found in the Gospels. You know, there's a couple of extra exercises that St. Ignatius came up with on his own imagination, but I'd say 95% of it is meditating on the life of Jesus from his birth through his public ministry, the passion, death, and then finally the resurrection, of course. And so the more you can know about the scriptures intellectually through Bible study in your parishes or with some other group opportunities, you know, the more maybe it can help to appreciate the differences in the four Gospels and the nuances in the way the evangelists tell the story. But as Ken just said so well, you know, it can't be something that stays in the head. It also has to move to the heart. And so Ignatian prayer is really experiential prayer. It's not just Bible study, learning more about Jesus. It's coming to know the person of Jesus and what he expects of us in our lives then too, through the meditation on the stories that we find of Jesus and his life and death and resurrection in the Gospels. So it's part of what I'd like to call the both-and approach. You know, we need both the head and the heart. Some people think all you need to do is open up the Bible, you know, pray to God, and somehow he will inspire you. And yes, he can, but, you know, we shouldn't turn off the brain either. We need to find a good balance between the study of Scripture and praying with Scripture, between the intellectual knowledge about Jesus and then the personal, heartfelt experience of Jesus that we then put into our lives, just as we need to have a nice balance between the sort of prayer and spiritual aspects of our lives and then the social and service aspects as well.
It's been said that ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ, right? And the reality is, the more that we can understand the living Word of God, the more excited we get about Jesus, the more we want to make a difference with the poor and make a difference in the community. And that's a big part of what the Loyola Institute for Spirituality does, is that it opens up our hearts to learn more about Christ's love for us. And tell us about some of the programs that LIS offers.
Well, the core of our programs, I would say, are the spiritual exercises themselves. And so we offer the spiritual exercise in daily life program that I mentioned before as a 9-month version of Ignatius's 1-month long intensive retreat, but now spread out. And that's why I meant to say before, Ignatian spirituality really is something for everybody. It's not just, as people used to think, something that only Jesuits or only other priests or religious sisters and brothers can do, but it really is designed for everybody. In fact, Ignatius was himself still a layperson when he had these experiences himself, and the first dozens of people that he gave these exercises to were also all lay people. They were fellow students at the University of Paris, where he was at the time. And so we ourselves at the Loyola Institute offer these spiritual exercises on a one-to-one individual basis, but with a little bit of small and large group work throughout the year as well. Normally, we begin this process in the fall, so it kind of follows the academic calendar, begin in September, finish up in May or June. We also offer the 3-year program that Ken mentioned before of training people to help accompany others through the spiritual exercises. So a combination of courses, doing the year-long retreat yourselves, and then learning how to accompany others. And so it's because of that. It's because of people like Ken and about 100 other associates we have by now that we are able to offer this these experiences not only to anybody who comes through our door, who wants to, you know, go through the retreat themselves, but also to certain groups. Like, we work regularly with the deacon programs, the deacon formation programs of the Diocese of Orange and the Archdiocese of Los Angeles and several other dioceses here in Southern California and beyond. So these spiritual exercises is the core of what we do, and training people to help others through the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius as well. And then we have a lot of other programs, so many. I mean, you'd have to go to our website to take a look at all the different programs we do, some of which are very closely related to experiences of prayer, whether it's a short morning or an evening, or courses or a weekend retreat, some of which are more secondary but supportive programs, like we sponsor the Catholic Bible Institute here in the Diocese of Orange, so that people who would like to learn more about the scriptures can also do so through a 3-year program meeting one Saturday a month. And we have all sorts of programs between 1 hour long or 3 years long, everything in between.
And what is the website?
It's simply loyolainstitute.org, loyolainstitute.org.
We'll be right back. This is Deacon Steve Grecker. We're back on Empowered by the Spirit at beautiful Christ Cathedral on top of the Tower of Hope with Father Felix Yust, who is Executive Director for the Loyola Institute for Spirituality, and Ken Cachet, who is the Chairman of the Board of Directors for LIS. And we were talking about earlier Pope Francis, and boy, what a dynamic Pope that we have, and how he really embodies this spirituality that we've been talking about. But it's also about listening to God and discernment. And tell us more about that.
Yeah, one of the most important things about Ignatian spirituality is this word discernment. And that's not just making decisions about, oh, you know, do you want to have chocolate ice cream or vanilla ice cream? You know, just decide and enjoy what you like, you know. But discernment is for those, say, more important decisions in life, not just thinking about what you want to do, but what is God really asking of you in your life and the important decisions, you know, jobs or marriage or moving somewhere or even slightly lesser important ones. But how can you allow God to help you find out what would be best for yourself and other people around and what would be in conformity with God's will. And that's a process that requires a lot of prayer and reflection and dialogue with others. And Pope Francis embodies that so amazingly well. Let me just tell you one quick story here, you know. When he was elected back in March of 2013, there's been a tradition in the church for centuries now that when a pope dies, or now in the most recent case when Benedict XVI resigned from office, that all the other cardinals who are in charge of the various different Vatican congregations, as they're called, those offices in the Vatican, that they have to submit their resignations when a pope dies. And then the next pope, when he gets elected, traditionally within 24 hours has just kind of automatically reinstated every single cardinal as the head of every single office that they had. And so this time when it happened in March of 2013, 24 hours later, Pope Francis didn't reinstate them all. 48 hours later, he didn't reinstate them all. Everybody was starting to get nervous, like, what is he going to do here, you know? And so it was 3 days later that the Holy Father then said, I will reinstate all the cardinals as the heads of all these offices provisionally, because I want to take some more time for reflection and dialogue. And in my mind, it went ding, 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 ding. He's talking about Ignatian discernment, although he didn't use that fancy word. What he said is, I want to talk to all these guys who are heads of these offices to see what their experience is. Do they want to continue in the job? Do they want to do something different? You know, dialogue with the people whom the decisions are going to affect, and some time for, you know, reflection, for prayerful thinking about what would be best, not just for the individuals, but for the church as a whole. And so that's something that the process of discernment, you know, we offer courses in how to prayerfully discern what God might be asking of us in our lives. Pope Francis embodies that so well, but I think folks like Ken Cachet here, the chair of our board, also embodies that so well. He's had some decisions in his life, I know, that he just doesn't make on the spur of the moment or decide what he wants to do, but, you know, could you maybe mention
sure.
Something
that's,
about that?
Sure, as I said earlier, in this whole idea of retiring, what am I going to do? And then the question was not, what am I going to do? It was, Lord, what do you want me to do? And that's how my process and my time with LIS, with the spiritual exercises, helped in that dialogue. And it's a dialogue that, you know, discernment does involve some intellectual portions, getting all your information, pros and cons, that sort of thing. But it moves deeper interiorly. How do I feel? Do the decisions I'm contemplating feel right? Is God touching me and calling me and moving me? And I think once decisions are made, I know in my life, and I think in many's, they're not forever. You continue to ask that question, which I continue to do. God, what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to do next week and next month? So discernment is definitely a fruit of the spiritual exercises, and something that I think is important in each of our lives as we consider, what is God calling us to? How does God call us, want us to be?
And that's something that Ken has done so well. You know, when I asked him 3 years ago, would you be willing to become the chair of the board of directors, because our previous chair was stepping down, you know, Ken's answer was not yes right away. His answer was, let me think about it, let me pray about it, let me talk to my wife about it. And I said, perfect answer. I don't want a yes answer right now, immediately when I ask you a question. Take the time for prayer and dialogue with those involved before coming to a good decision that hopefully is within the will of God. That's what discernment is is all about, then that's something all of us can learn and practice to do.
Yep. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're here on Empowered by the Spirit, talking really about the Holy Spirit guiding us to Jesus, guiding us to action, with Father Felix Yust, Executive Director for the Loyal Institute for Spirituality, and Ken Cache, who is the Chairman of the Board of Directors. And I'm very blessed to be on the board and very blessed to love LIS and to so appreciate it. And I have to tell you, my brothers and sisters, very quickly, the Jesuits, whether I liked it or not, you know, really formed me in virtually every way. I mean, first going to Loyola and really being formed in a gentle way. You know, when you're in college, you know, you're rebellious. And I've often given the story that in one of my theology papers, classes rather, I had to do a term paper, and I actually focused on the topic of the resurrection, and I wanted to disprove the resurrection. That was the goal. Really smart move at Catholic University, right? So I did all this research, and I preached on this actually on Easter, the Easter Vigil. I did all this research, and I found out, both secular research as well as, of course, the Gospels, that for me, the resurrection had to happen, that there were a lot of messiahs who said they were messiahs, but they weren't really messiahs, and they went away. And how did this not go away? And how all the appearances and everything else. And so for me, it was an intellectual approach that turned into my heart, you know, through really the discernment process and the intellectual process of the Jesuits and what I learned there. And then on from there, for me, Manresa, we went to Manresa for about 20 straight years. It was such a huge part every single year going on retreat there. And it was it formed our men's group. It formed a lot of our spirituality and so forth. And then, of course, becoming a deacon and having the Jesuits involved in the formation in every step of the way. And, of course, you know, everything we do, you know, God is calling us, and you know, as you look at Scripture and my love for Scripture, John 15:16, it's not you who called me, but I who called you and anointed you to bear fruit, fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask of my Father, he may give you. My brothers and sisters, you are being called. You're listening right now because you're being called. You're being called by Jesus to make a difference in building up his kingdom, his church, by making a difference, by loving with all your heart, soul, might, and strength God, but by loving his people. What is it that you want to do? Well, Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Ask with all your heart, soul, might, and strength, and discern and listen. And it says, seek and you will find. You will find what God wants you to do. Knock and the door will be open to you. So like you were saying, Ken, when you really want to serve God, he will come to you and he will give you direction.
God has a way, has his way. And, you know, sometimes people ask for and think and want to see something big, flashy, a magic moment. But I think God, as we do read in the Scripture, so often and most often speaks with a still, small voice. It's not the earthquake. It's not the fire. It's not the mountain tumbling down. But to hear that small voice, it requires us, myself, certainly especially, to be quiet, to spend quiet time with God, to listen to what God is saying to me and how God is moving me. So yes, absolutely, Steve, that's correct.
Our ministry at Spirit-Filled Hearts, which is the ministry that we have for evangelization and for healing, we go all over the country, actually, in preaching God's love. And really trying to get people to understand the fact that they're not junk, that there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus, as it says in Romans 8:1. Right. And, of course, in Romans 8, and who will separate us from the love of Christ? You know, and so a big part of what the Loyal Institute for Spirituality is about and Ignatian spirituality is just unlocking that love that Jesus has for us. And could you comment on that, Father?
Well, certainly. We also try to be very mobile, and that's why we're a little different than just a traditional retreat house where people can come to the retreat house and have wonderful experiences there for a weekend or a week-long retreat, as you had and as I've had in my past life as well. And those are very good and important experiences. But about half of the ministry that we do is actually going out to other parishes and other dioceses so that people who can't necessarily take the overnight time on weekends or week-long or 30-day-long, you know, summertime retreats can also learn how to integrate their prayer, their discernment, their daily life. And so we do lots of, you know, providing parish missions or offering workshops in the evenings or on Saturdays in different parishes and different dioceses, not only here in California, but we get invitations from Alaska and Hawaii, from Canada and Mexico, as well as many of the other states of the Union. So that's where I think we're also fortunate to be able to be more mobile with the normal retreat house setting. The executive director has to worry about paying all the bills because you may have 5 program staff people there and about 25 support staff, you know, taking care of the grounds and the buildings and the kitchen and the bedrooms and all. Whereas we don't have any overnight facilities. We sometimes offer overnight retreats at other wonderful retreat houses here in the greater LA area, but we can be more mobile because we only have about 8 full-time program staff and 2 support staff, but we also have these 100 associates working with us, and we can go to so many different places, and people can come to us for help in learning about their prayer life and growing closer to God in various ways.
And it is about learning how much we're loved by Jesus and getting closer to Him in prayer and discernment. My brothers and sisters, that is the message to you today. You are loved unconditionally. Doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus is there waiting for you with open arms. Come to Him in reconciliation. Come to Him. He is there forgiving you and loving you unconditionally. We're going to come right back, and we're going to talk more about the Loyola Institute for Spirituality and this exciting gala that we have coming up. We'll be right back. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're back on Empowered by the Spirit at beautiful Christ Cathedral on top of the Tower of Hope with Father Felix Yust, Executive Director for the Loyola Institute for Spirituality, and Ken Cachet, who is the Chairman for the Board of Directors. And Ken, these programs have made such a big difference in so many countless thousands of lives. But, you know, we have a big Spanish-speaking audience listening in here on one of our radio networks. And tell us the different languages that the programs are offered.
Sure, Steve. And I think that is important to note that we're not just English-speaking only because we live in a diverse demographic here in Southern California. So our programs are offered as well in Spanish and in terms of the spiritual exercises of daily life. That is offered in Korean and Chinese as well. So, yes, we're responsive and open to all languages and all groups.
So LAIS is definitely there to meet the needs of all of you out there. And whatever language you're speaking, for the most part, the major languages there, there are programs offered for you. Now, we have an exciting gala coming up here. Tell us about it. Tell us what the gala is all about and how our listeners can be part of it.
Well, I'd like to call it, first of all, it's called the Hearts on Fire Dinner. It's coming up on May 1st, which is a Sunday evening this year. We try to do it on the first Sunday of May each year. And I'd like to describe it as a combination of an awards celebration, as well as a friend-raiser and a fundraiser. As a nonprofit, of course, you know, my role as executive director is to help pay the bills, and much of our income does come from donations and program services and fees and all that, but we do rely on the generosity of many, many people, donors and members, to also contribute whatever they would like. So if any listeners, you know, want to just make an outright donation, that's always appreciated by any nonprofit for that matter, you know. But we have this wonderful dinner each year on the first Sunday of May, which is, as I said, a combination of an award ceremony. We give out 3 different awards, one called the Hearts on Fire Award for somebody who has really lived Ignatian spirituality and put it into practice in their life and ministry, one that's called the Writer's Award in spirituality. We give out to someone, an author who has been writing books and articles not only on spirituality in general, but specifically Ignatian spirituality. And the third award, called the Rosita Diaz Award, the Love in Action Award, is specifically for someone who here within the Diocese of Orange has really been helping with Hispanic ministry. As Ken just mentioned, that we offer a lot of our programs in Spanish, and we've done so from the very beginning. Loyal Institute is almost 20 years old now, and from the very beginning we tried to offer as much as possible both in English and in Spanish. And in fact, the Rosita Diaz Award was the first and oldest of the three awards that we have, honoring someone who really has helped with Hispanic ministry within Orange County, whereas the other two awards came slightly later. The Hearts on Fire Award could be offered to anybody nationwide, although usually someone from Southern California here. And the Writers Award, of course, because it's dealing with an author publishing nationwide or worldwide, we do bring in some very well-known names, such as Father Bob Spitzer was a previous awardee, and Father Greg Boyle was a previous awardee. And this year we're bringing in Mr. Jim Manny. He was the senior editor at Loyola Press for about 16 years and has done a wonderful job in writing several different books, not only about the Ignatian examine prayer, but about other aspects of Ignatian spirituality.
And who are the other award winners? Can you share that?
Yes, of course. I was just going back and forth here on my list. The Hearts on Fire this year goes to Dr. Chit Sang Tsang. He is, believe it or not even Catholic. He's a member of the First Evangelical Church Association, which is a group of Chinese evangelical churches, and he has been such a strong advocate of Ignatian spirituality within his own ecclesial communities that we thought this year it would be wonderful to honor him. We've been working with the First Evangelical Church Association now for the last 12 years or so, and it's just a wonderful sign that Ignatian spirituality, as I said before, is not just for priests and religious, but it's for lay people, and now we can, you know, say that it's broad. More broadly, even so, it's not only for Catholics. It can be used by any Christians who are in love with Jesus. And Dr. Chit Sang Tsang is a very wonderful example of that, providing Ignatian spirituality resources for people who are from a different language, different culture, different religious tradition with Chinese evangelical churches.
And that might be a good point to note as well, as language diversity, is that actually, even though we serve probably largely Catholic people, the LIS is ecumenical as well, serving non-Catholics.
Yeah. And then the third awardee is the Rosita Diaz Award this year goes to Dr. Carol Cogill. She actually was the first director of the Office of Religious Education here in the Diocese of Orange. And when she was tasked with helping in the formation of the catechists, all those volunteer adults in all the parishes who helped to teach the children and others in their parish about the faith, she came to realize early on that, oh my gosh, here in Orange County, so many of our people don't speak English, at least not as a first language. And so rather than only offering programs in English, it was the responsibility of the Diocese of Orange to begin offering programs in Spanish and other languages as needed by the faithful here. And so, although she herself is not Hispanic, she was very instrumental in beginning a lot of the Spanish language catechetical programs here in the Diocese of Orange. And although she's now retired, she was gracious enough to accept our offer to honor her this year for the wonderful ministry that she's done in Ignatian spirituality, because she is also a member of what's called the Trinitas community, which has been based on Ignatian spirituality all along, but reaching out to the Hispanic community as well.
Wonderful. Now, Ken, for our radio audience here, what's in it for them to show up here, and give us some logistics as it relates to how they can sign up?
Yeah, well, as we mentioned, the event is on Sunday, May 1st. The event starts at about 5 in the evening, so it's not going to be a late event. We should be done by 9. It is held in the City of Orange at the Doubletree Hilton. And to sign up, a person can go to the LIS website, loyolainstitute.org, and you can purchase tickets on the website, or you can call the number 714-997-9587 and register that way as well.
And how much are the tickets?
The tickets for this event are $150 per person. which we consider a bargain, since I've been getting invitations to some of these other events and see different price points higher than that, but $150 per person. If a person could gather up 10 of their best friends, a table is $1,500. And as Father said, we financially raise about 60% of our revenues from our program income, but the balance, the 40% that doesn't come from fees and tuition, needs to come from donations and from this event.
And it starts with a silent auction in which there's all kinds of neat things that they can see and religious items.
Exactly.
And so
that first hour or so is kind of the friend-raiser part extraordinaire, where mixing and mingling and silent auction items, an opportunity to have an orange juice or a glass of wine or a bottle of beer, and just mix and mingle. There'll be roughly 300 people, priests, deacons, religious sisters, laity, and if you've been around this diocese, you'll probably know someone there.
Well, and it's really fun to meet people that you don't know, too, and get to know them and get to understand a lot more about what Loyola Institute for Spirituality is all about. And I know he said he wasn't important, but you get to meet Father Felix. You get to meet Ken. And I'm going to be there, too, and this is extremely important to me and to Empowered by the Spirit. There's no question in my mind you would have an amazing evening that night. So go to the website, and again, one more time on the website.
Yeah, it's loyolainstitute.org.
Okay, and you can purchase tickets online. And to learn more about how Ignatian spirituality and the Loyola Institute for Spirituality can make a difference in your life. And my brothers and sisters, you are being called to make a difference. All you have to do is just turn on the TV and read a newspaper and just, you know, we are in a battle. I mean, we know that. We're in a spiritual battle right now. And the Lord is calling us to make a stand, to make a difference. And that's exactly what Hearts on Fire is all about, to really help you understand how much you're loved by Jesus and how he's calling you to make a difference by making a stand, to learning more about your faith. And this whole catechesis, I know, you know, we're obviously in the Los Angeles diocese a lot, and we certainly can invite them to drive down too, right?
Sure. It's open to anybody. And I just wanted to add one thing. And unfortunately, this is a fundraising dinner. I say unfortunately because, yeah, the price is $150, so it's not the average family can bring all the kids. But the reason why we do need to do an event like this as a Hearts on Fire dinner as a fundraiser is because we offer a lot of scholarships for the rest of our programs, the rest of our year, and this helps to raise some funds for that. So we do like to make sure that anybody who can come to us and take advantage of the programs we have in prayer and spirituality, biblical training and retreats and whatnot, and we do offer lots of scholarships for people throughout the whole year, and that's why we're so grateful when people can come and make donations or participate in an event like the Hearts on Fire dinner.
Father Felix and Ken, thank you so much for being on our show. You have made such a big difference in the lives of our radio audience, so thank you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure to be with you today.
Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. We thank you for the opportunity to receive your love, to be chosen by you as adopted sons and daughters. Open up your hearts to receive the love of Jesus. Open up our hearts, Lord, that we may understand how much we're loved and we may serve you with all of our heart, soul, might, and strength. We say this through the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We'll be with you next week at the same time. God bless you all.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For more information about Spirit-Filled Hearts, visit our website, spiritfilledhearts.org. That's spiritfilledhearts.org. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We hope you'll tell a friend about our program and ask them to join us next week at this same time. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio.